We're thankful for this many out this evening to study God's Word, sing praises to His name. We are small in attendance this evening because we have Tim, his family, away for a gospel meeting down in Alabama. And we got a few other families away for vacation at this point. So it makes it look a little small this evening. I'm pretty nervous this morning, so I'm going to try again. So I hope I can get the feel for this. I'm just not quite used to using a little netbook. I think that's what they call these things. And I'm trying to get adjusted to them and trying to get updated myself. So we'll try to do the best we can again this evening. I don't know if I'll last as long as I did this morning, which is unusual. According to Chuck, it lasted 33 minutes. And that's short for me. So we'll do what we can. I want to talk about a little bit about the sly tactics of Satan this evening. In 1 Peter 5th chapter, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and beginning at verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Above all, taking the shield of faith, from which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." This evening, we're going to talk about some of the tactics of Satan. But we're going to do it in a different mode than I normally would. We're going to talk about the alligator, and we're going to compare it to Satan and Christians. The alligator, adequate. Chuck says that's a tongue twister. Yes, I do get twisted up on it myself, so we'll try to get through it as best we can. We need to learn how to behave around alligators. The fact that we need plain, simple, straightforward rules. But there's different reactions to the rules that are given to those that are visiting these alligators in these farms and whatever. You got people that no matter when their rules are passed out in these farms or these areas that they have, people shun all of us. First thing they do is like to take the rules and throw them off to the side. How many often do we do that? Not only for the alligator when we're on the farm, but for other things. People don't abide to the rules that are given to them. They put the rules on the dashboard and say, "Well, I'll read them later." We'll read and follow the rules, enjoy the visit to the park. And then remember, when we are in the park, we're also in that alligator's world. We need to understand that. We also need to remember that we as Christians, when we're in the world, we're in the world of Satan. We're in his world. We're living among his people. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." There are those that will shut their mind off to the Word of God. No matter how much you try to teach them or preach to them, try to get them to understand how they stand before God, they'll turn it down all times. But God has given us rules for us to live by in this Satan world. Just like we have rules that we need to abide within that alligator farm, well, we have rules today as Christians. And we need to understand that. Psalms 119 and verse 105 says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Also in John, the 6th chapter, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Just like them rules that we have within that farm, among them alligators, if you don't abide to them, you can lose your life. And we as Christians can lose our life spiritually if we are not careful. within the world of Satan. So we need to beware at all times. In 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, reminding them that they need to be careful at all times. They don't fall after and fall into temptations that Satan has put up for them. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 4. Again, Paul's writing to the church of Colossae. He says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with enticing words." God's commandments are good. We need to be obedient to His will at all times. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 24, "The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day." Likewise, in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 25, "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." So we need to understand that just because we are Christians, just because we think we're right, we're still going to be judged for what we've done. Galatians, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sow, this he also shall reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And we need to understand that. So the rule one of the alligator etiquette is absolutely do not feed or annoy the alligator. When you go to Yellowstone Park, what's the first thing you read about bears? Don't feed them. Don't bother. That's what we need to do around the alligators. Satan etiquette, according to God's Word, is in Romans 12, chapter, verse 9. "Abhorred what is evil. Cleave to what is good." So we don't need to be feeding the people of Satan. We don't need to be feeding these alligators that are out there waiting for us. We need to be staying away from them as much as possible. We need to cleave to that which is good or right in the sight of God. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, verse 22. "Abstain from every form of evil." That's hard, isn't it? Abstain from every form of evil. Even though it may be okay to partake in, if it's going to leave the wrong impression to others, we need to leave it alone. We need to stay away from them. And that's what we try to get across this morning within our lessons about how we ought to dress as Christians. Often, we're not as strong as we think we are. We all like to think we're strong. We can take it. We can stand up at the right time. That we can defend God's Word at any moment. That we can do the right thing at all times. But you know, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12, says, "Therefore, if let him who thinks he stands, take heed that he does not fall." Just when we think we're strong, just when we think we're able and capable of overcoming, there's things around about us. That's when we trip. I've known some that has worked down there at the mill for quite a few years. And we're not allowed to wear watches or rings or anything on this order because you can lose your hand, your fingers, because of perforation bars, the blades that comes around. And there were men that have been working down there for years and forgot to take that watch off. And they'd be messing around. And all of a sudden, somebody else would hit the button, not realizing they're in there. Didn't look. I almost had their hand completely taken off. I know when Eagles, years ago, we first got married, worked down there for about a year, And I imagine Donnie has known a few down there since he's worked down there for quite a few years that lost fingers and hands because of machines, double repeating at times. I've seen that happen down there a couple of times. You're never careful enough. Just when you think you're safe, just think when you think you know it, it's when you fall. That's when you trip. That's when things take place. I can handle a little alcohol, you hear some say. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 1, says, wine is a mocker, strong drink, brawler. And whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 31. Do not look upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. There are some that say, well, that movie won't affect me. It don't bother me at all to watch that type of movie. It don't bother me at any point. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 23, it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. We have individuals today that say the reason why the world is getting so violent because of movies we watch and the violence that takes place within the TV shows nowadays. Maybe, to some degree, I believe it does rub off, especially when you don't correct your kids and try to teach them the proper way they need to be. And try to teach them that this is just a movie or this isn't real. It's not the way you are to act. I remember watching a lot of war movies, but I don't go around killing a lot of people because I knew and it was taught different. And, of course, to God's Word. But we need to be careful what we put into our heart and make sure it don't affect us. I'm just going to do it just this once, you hear people say. Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, ye are the one slaves whom ye obey, whether the sin leading to death or of the obedience leading to righteousness? And he said to them, take heed, beware of the covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Luke 12, and verse 15. My friends won't cause me to sin. I can hang around these individuals. They won't get me in trouble. I can stay. I know better.
Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Every
evil company corrupts good habits. I don't know how many times I've seen good kids, when they get around the wrong individuals, they hang around them long enough. Don't leave God and get involved in some of the activities they get into. Just missing one service won't hurt me. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, I let my child do this. It won't hurt. And we'll just put a stop right to it, right there. Just the one time. It won't hurt him. Huh? How often would you let your child get close to a snake or an alligator? Just one time. Let him walk up and pet that alligator. Let him pick up that poisonous snake. It only takes one time. We need to remember that. Our alligator etiquette rule 1A. Speak to those violating the rules or contact a ranger immediately. If you see somebody being disobedient, trying to feed the alligators and annoy them, would you warn them? Would you remind them, say, well, the rule says not to do that? Well, again, we have a rule given to us by God. Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. We have been warned several times in the Scriptures to stay away from these activities, or we'll lose our soul. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you are a spiritual restorer, such a one, in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So if you see one that is feeding them alligators, or if you're in Yellowstone feeding the bears, the rule says not to. Are you going to warn them or get them help? Physically, I think we would. But spiritually, we failed to do it. How would you react if you saw others playing with a nest of baby alligators? Am I my brother's keeper? Ah, you'll be okay. That's not rushing to anything. Let's think about this before we do anything. Ah, a few little bites won't hurt them. Think about it. That's the little alligators. Imagine what they could do to an individual. Ah, their intent's good. I know they're in there just feeding them. Depends what they're feeding them. Could be feeding them their own body. Most people don't get hurt by an alligator anyway. That only happens very few occasions. I don't want to offend them anyway because they know better. They know what they're doing. I don't want to hurt their feelings and make them think that they don't know what they're doing. At the same time, we sometimes react physically to a danger, but yet we see a brother get involved in sin, and we don't say a word about it. We leave him alone. We do nothing. We totally ignore it at times. And it's wrong. And we need to be careful that we don't fall into that situation. Alligator etiquette rule 2. If you love your pet, keep it on a leash. Well, you don't want to lose Fluffy or some other dog that you got Rover or anything. Well, same way for children. Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And since we're putting a leash on our kids because we're trying to protect them from the world and keep them from falling into temptation, trying to keep them from getting involved in things that are spiritually wrong for their soul. And we need to understand that. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. This nation has gotten away so far from punishing their children. And look at the mess we have in this country now. Look around us. Look at all the problems we've had because we failed to correct our child as we should. Remember a time in a grocery store, picked my child up, the middle one. He's usually the most stubborn one of the three. It's his way or no way. But I would pick him up and spank him. I had a woman walk up. I said, I'm going to turn you in. I said, well, you do what you have to do. But I'm going to correct my child. And I'm going to try to keep him from robbing you a few years down the road. She looked at me and paused for a brief moment. Didn't know what to say. But the fact is, if you don't correct your child, don't raise him upright, there'll be a problem. And it will be a problem
in your life, the rest of your life and theirs. Proverbs 19, chapter, verse 18. Chasten your child while there is hope.
Do not set your heart on his destruction. Alligator etiquette rule 3. Do not assume alligators are slow moving or sluggish.
John the 8th chapter in verse 44 says, be not deceived.
Satan is the master of deception. Ever see pictures of alligators swimming in a river? Look like an old log. All you see is the two eyes, maybe the body a little bit. It just looks like an old log just floating down. Can't tell really what it is. And all of a sudden, you'll see that thing floating along. Then all of a sudden, it snaps out of the water at the thing it wants to get. Remember watching a movie. She might kill me after this, but she just had surgery. And we were watching, I can't think of the guy from the Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee. And the first movie they put out. And the woman's down by the water, by the pond, and she's just washing her hands, and all of a sudden this alligator jumped out of that water. I thought Maria was going to jump through the ceiling when it came out of that water. Caught that woman off guard, caught her off guard. I may have jumped a little bit, but not as bad as she did. Did catch us off guard. Well, that's the way that alligator, that's the way Satan is. Just when you think he's not around or quick enough to make that move, he's there. He made that motion to get him after you. Revelation 12, chapter, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Too many view today that Satan is nothing but harmless, non-existent. It's just a tool that God used to get us to comply to His will. It's a way to scare us. A way to get us to be obedient to His will. Well, Genesis, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 4 and through 6, we can read about Eve, how she was deceived by that Satan, or that serpent. Only implied or used one word. God said, thou shalt surely die if you eat of this fruit. He said, you shall not surely die. Not. One word. And sometimes that's all it takes to get us to fall into false doctrine, to follow after somebody that is teaching something wrong, is the changing of the words. 1 Kings 13, that should be 1 Samuel. Excuse me, 1 Kings. Excuse my notes here. 1 Kings 13 chapter. Deceived prophet of God. This is where the prophet was told to make his warning. And then he was to leave. He was to go straight home. And another man came up and said, well, I'm a prophet of God too. And he told me to tell you, go ahead and come back home with me and eat with me. You're allowed to. God told me to tell you this. Well, this man believed this other prophet. He went back home with him. And if you read the verses 11 through 23 of 1 Kings 13, you can read the account where he went back home with this individual, ate with them. When he got up to rise, there was a lion waiting for him. Killed him. And that lion stood beside that man as the individual walked up down that road. Never bothered anybody else. They knew what to take place. Matthew, the 4th chapter. He tried to deceive Christ. This is when Christ was in the wilderness and Satan tried to tempt him on 3 different occasions, trying to get him to be obedient to his will. Each time Christ turned him away. He tries to use our spouse and our children. If you turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and beginning with verse 34. Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 34. Think not that I have come to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, with the daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He will split families up by his gospel. And we need to understand that. Because Satan will use the family to try to lead you away from doing his will. There have been occasions where young individuals that became obedient to God's will was kicked out of the house because they were trying to become Christians, trying to live that Christian life. And they want no part of that. Proverbs 7th chapter, beginning of verse 5 through 21, talks about how a promiscuous woman, a woman that was provocative, a wicked woman, that was trying to lead men away from doing God's will, likewise, trying to get them to sleep with them and be disobedient in any way they could. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning verse 15, talks about those who says, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Haven't we cast out devils? But Christ will say, and God will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. We have friends that try to lead us from doing God's will. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 33. We'll have those who be outside and pay a visit to us, maybe on Wednesday night, right before we get ready to walk out of the house to attend services. And they'll say, well, do you really have to go this evening? I haven't seen you for a while. Can't you miss just one service? Can't you just be with us for a moment? That's Satan tempting you. It's trying to get him to be obedient to God's will, disobedient to God's will. Riches, Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 22, where it talks about the seeds being sown. Those were choked out because they followed after the riches of the world. Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, talks about philosophy. Men will use big terms, big words, trying to show you how knowledgeable they are, how smart they are. And say, well, you don't know everything. This is what you need to do. And try to lead you from God's Word. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verses 31 and 32, again, talks about the wine. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. Soft. Yeah, Satan works on us. I've never fall. I can get myself involved in things like that, and it won't affect me one bit. Arrogant, proud, boastful. Something we need to stay away from. Obadiah, the 1st chapter, verse 3. Again, it talks about pride. How do we avoid being deceived? Don't be deceived by the appearance of by sin. We need to, according to Hebrews 5th chapter, beginning verse 12, we need to discern between good and evil. We need to know what God's will is. The only way we can do that is by studying His Word and being obedient to it. Psalms 119, verse 11 said, we need to hide God's Word within your heart. Keep it with you all times. Don't just read it and forget it. Read it and apply it to your lives. Philippians, 1st chapter, beginning verse 9 and 10. Approve things that are excellent. Continue to do the things that God wants us to do. We are just. merciful. We are honest. We try to treat others like we like to be treated ourselves at all times. We never try to get even. We can go other ways and mention other things. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, verse 12. Realize we can fall. Don't say that you can't make a mistake. Don't say you can't trip. Don't ever say you can't fall. You'll never leave God. I don't know how many times I've heard men stand up in the pulpit and say, I'll never leave God. I'll never depart from the truth. And then years down the road, you hear them departing from the truth or quit. I've known a couple of men in the late 70s, early 80s that taught at Thomas and Run that quit the church. Preachers started teaching for a denomination. So never say never. Never say you cannot fall. 1 Corinthians 6th chapter, verse 18, tells us we need to flee from fornication. Run from sin. We have samples throughout the Old Testament and New. Verse 10 brought a lesson. Bible runners. Those who ran away from temptation. Hebrews 13th chapter, verse 17, we need to obey the elders as long as they're teaching the truth. Teaching something false, we need to stand up to them. We need to call them. But if they're teaching God's Word and they're trying to help the congregation grow in accordance to the will of God, we need to be obedient to them. We need to listen to them. Ephesians 6th chapter, verse 1. We as teenagers, we as young people, need to be obedient to our parents at all times. As long as it's in accordance to God's Word. We need to understand that. 1 John 3, verse 7, do right. Do the right thing all times. And Galatians 6, chapter, verses 7 and 8, we need to sow to the Spirit. Alligator etiquette, rule 5, if you hook a fish, alligator may go after your catch. Well, again, we have those who have become new converts that are attacked by Satan right off the bat. 1 Peter 2 chapter, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk, the Word, that you may grow thereby. Acts 2 chapter, verse 42, as they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Rule 6, recognize likely spot for gators. And then avoid them. And we need likewise. We need to recognize the likely spot for Satan and avoid them. Matthew 6th chapter, verse 13. Do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Psalms 119, verses 101. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so I might obey your word. Our gator etiquette. Don't allow drunks on the land, on the property. How many times have you seen somebody that drunk a little alcohol try to go into some of these farms and the way they act at times? I've seen on several occasions where those who have had a few drinks and entered different things like that, and you see occasions on the news where somebody was drunk and tried to take care of a bear out in Yellowstone Park or something on that order, and he got consumed. He got taken care of. Been torn apart, killed by that beast. And we as Christians, if we involve ourselves in trying to involve ourselves in this world, we'll get devoured. We will be taken up. We will fall. And we could be completely left out in the cold the judgment day. I hope these are some things that have been given to you to think about this evening. And hope that you can apply them to your lives. Rules that we need to abide to. We all, as Christians,
myself,
need to take those rules
and apply.
We need to work on them. Make sure
we don't get in trouble. Maybe one here this evening that has not yet obeyed God's will. You heard His word, believe,
repent, confess, be baptized by immersion, live a faithful life to death. There may be one here this evening that has done these things.
That's okay.
I can get involved in these things a little bit. It won't hurt me. I'll never leave God. I won't fall. I won't put myself in a position where I'll offend my brother. We need to make it right. Well, we just lost our soul likewise. We need God. Go to God, ask for forgiveness of your sins. We want to hear to help you. We want to hear to get you to think about your soul and its destiny. Because you need to be prepared at all times. You need to think about those things.
Do something about it
before
it's eternally too late. Stand and sing the song. Invitation.